felt like there were some loose ends that needed to be tied up. I'm just kidding. We're done with Revelation. I've exhausted my lessons with Revelation, and now I'm going to exhaust you with lessons with Samson, and maybe tie this in a little bit with DC Comics Superman. When Superman made it to TV finally, it opened with the lines, "Faster than a locomotive, more powerful than a speeding bullet, and able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the air, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman. Superman, a visitor from a strange planet, endowed with powers and abilities beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for the Daily Planet, wages a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way." Now, when George Reeves portrayed Superman on TV, his fame did not come without certain risks. Every time he donned the Superman suit in public, there were people that oftentimes would try to kick him in the shins or hit him in the back with their fists or otherwise just try to assault him. His young admirers really didn't mean him any harm, but they were eager to try to prove just how strong the Man of Steel really was. He was their TV idol. And then one day in Detroit in 1953, Reeves' costume nearly cost him his life. He was making an appearance at a department store when a young fan came and pulled out his father's loaded .45 caliber Army Colt and pointed it directly at Reeves' chest. Miraculously, maybe Reeves talked this kid into putting the gun down. He assured the boy that Superman could stand the force of the shot, but when the bullets bounced off of his chest, that they might hurt him or other people around. And that seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? Just to think that the appearance of George Reeves in a Superman costume would elicit such a response from people. But there was something about that suit apart from George Reeves that set it different. If George Reeves had walked into that department store wearing just a business suit or maybe a Hawaiian t-shirt, he would have been maybe mobbed by his fans. But I don't think any of them would have hit him or pointed a gun at him. It was that suit that set him apart. It was that suit that stood for truth, justice, and the American way. It was that suit that struck fear in the heart of evildoers. And it was that suit that created hope in the hearts of the downtrodden. It was that suit that set Superman apart. He was a strange visitor from another planet, endowed with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal man. But of course, Superman was fiction. The red-caped Superman has never existed except for on the pages of comics or on our TV screen or movie screens. Years ago, though, a few years prior to that, there was a real Superman. And he was born in the Smallville of Zora. And he may not have been faster than a speeding bullet or more powerful than a locomotive or able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, but I do suspect that Samson could have bent steel with his bare hands. And just as an example of how powerful Samson was, the Bible records in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, that when Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came toward him roaring, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. In chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, it says that when he left Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught on fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out of his hand and took it, and with it he struck down 1,000 men. And in Judges 16, verses 2 and 3, we're told that the Gazites were told, Samson has come here. And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him at the gate of the city. And they kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait until the light of the morning, then we will kill him. But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took a hold of the doors of the gates of the city and of the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Samson was able to kill a lion with his bare hands. He wiped out 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of the donkey, and he uprooted a city gate, carrying it about 40 miles. Samson was someone you didn't mess with. Maybe to paraphrase Jim Croce, it would be you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't take the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Samson. The Philistines feared him. The Israelites adored him, and everybody knew who he was. And just like Superman and his cape, Samson had one thing that set him apart from mortal man. One distinctive mark, one unique characteristic that even to this day identifies Samson as a superhero. And when you think of Samson, what do you think of? Think of his long hair. Samson's long hair was his vow to God. And from the date of his birth until sometime just before his death, he had never cut his hair. And you can only imagine how long his hair must have been. Samson's hair was that outward mark of his Nazirite vow. And if we go back to the book of Numbers in chapter 6, verses 2 through 8, there we're told about that vow. And there God says to speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazirite, to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar made from wine or strong drink, and shall not drink any juice of grapes or eat grapes fresh or dried. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, not even the seeds or the skins. All the days of his vow of separation no razor shall touch his head, until the time he has completed for which he separates himself to the Lord, he shall be holy. He shall let the locks of his head grow long. And all the days that he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body, not even for his father, or for his mother, for his brother or sister. If they die, he shall make himself unclean, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. And we'll just notice a few things in that. A Nazirite was required to observe the following guidelines. He was never to cut his hair. He was not to drink any alcoholic beverages. And he was not to touch the corpse of a dead body. And as long as he observed these regulations, he was holy unto the Lord. Samson was committed to those rules before he was born. And as far as I could tell, Samson never broke those rules. Now, Samson had other problems in his life. Samson had other sins, but he never broke those Nazirite rules. And what was distinctive about Samson was that he was the only Nazirite that was endowed with superhuman strength because of his vow. Some people believe that Samuel was a lifelong Nazirite because of things that are said about him in the scripture. Others believe that John the Baptist was one. But neither John the Baptist nor Samuel had the gift of strength that Samson had. Samson was unique, distinctive, and special. And I think there are several reasons for that. And one of them is that I believe Israel needed a hero like Samson. They needed a superhuman hero. And if we look again there in Judges chapter 13, verse 1. In the first verse there, God sets the stage for the reason he is creating a hero like Samson. It tells us there that again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years is a long time. I'm knocking on the door, but I haven't made it there yet. But I can't imagine for my entire life being totally dominated by a cruel and repressive nation as the Philistines would have been. Israel had done wrong in the sight of God. And because of that, they had been delivered by God into the bondage of the Philistines. Israel had become a whipped people. And for example, when the Israelites were threatened because of Samson's exploits, they even complained to Samson. In Judges 15:11, they ask him, they say, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is it that you have done to us?" They just wanted to be left alone. And here, Samson was bringing down the wrath of their overlords upon them. But Israel's dilemma had been their own fault. You see, Israel's failure set themselves apart to God. And because of their failure to separate themselves from the uncleanliness and the deadness of the culture that was around them, they had become weakened and they had been placed in bondage. Samson is going to be God's object lesson to the Israelites. Through Samson, God's saying to Israel, if you want to be strong, if you want to be confident, if you want the Philistines to fear you, the key is don't get drunk like other nations. Don't touch unclean things. Don't defile yourselves with the death and decay of their way of life. By his very existence, Samson was a billboard declaring to the Israelites, separate yourselves, make yourselves a holy people for your God. If we go back to Superman, why was he so strong? Was it because of his cape? Or was it because of what he ate? Was it because Clark Kent worked out in the gym every day? No. Then why was Superman so strong? He was strong because, well, our yellow sun gave him power because he was a strange visitor from another planet. Now, why, in comparison, was Samson so strong? Was it because of his vow? Was it because he didn't eat unclean foods or touch unclean things? Was it because he didn't cut his hair? Well, no, not really. If that were true, every Nazarite would have the strength of Samson. Samson was strong because years before he was even born, his parents were visited by a strange visitor from another realm. And we see that in Judges 13, verses 3 through 7, where that angel of the Lord is appearing to Samson's mother. And again, as we reread this, we realize that Samson had the strength because God's angel had come with a promise. Samson's strength didn't rest with his hair. Samson's strength rested and came from God. It says there in verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, 'Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines.' Then the woman came and told her husband, 'A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of an angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, so then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall become a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And that's the way it's always been for God's people. David wrote in Psalms 28:8 that the Lord is my strength and shield. In him my heart trusts, and so I am helped, with my heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. Also, continuing on there to verse 8, he says, "The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed." He writes in Psalms 33, verses 16 through 21, "The king is not saved by his great army, A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by the great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, and our heart is glad in him because we trust his holy name. And that is just from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul writes to us in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Just like Samson, our strength lies with God. Jesus said in John 15:5 that I am the vine and you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, if you're not connected to Jesus, if he doesn't abide in you and work through you, you may as well go down to the barbershop and get a buzz cut. Because you will have no real strength without Jesus. You might be able to do many things in this life, but without Jesus, nothing of value will ever last. It is when we realize that it is in God's strength that will have any impact in our lives that we can begin to make a difference in life. Paul recognized that fact when he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And again, he says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things in him who gives me strength. Just here in closing, and the next time I speak, we're going to go a little bit more in depth with Samson and just continue a few lessons. But really, the gist of this morning, God isn't interested in how intelligent we are or really how well we perform. He's only interested in our faithfulness. He's only interested in us being set apart to be used by him. When we are willing to be used, then God can take our weaknesses and he can turn them into strength. And again, you can do a lot of good things, but apart from Christ, it doesn't matter. And so this morning, the invitation is open to all who is subject to it. If you need to give your life to Christ, we encourage you to come this morning as we stand and as we sing.